Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for your word that we are able to open this morning. Lord, I pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts. Lord, that I pray also, Lord, that you would help us to remove the distractions that might be around us. Lord, help us to focus upon your word. Lord, we pray that you just work in this new year that we have. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to use it to the best of our ability to serve you the way that you desire to be served. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So now we left off praising prayer, and we 2 weeks ago we went into the second point that I was wanting to make with this chapter here, and that is personalities. And you might have been thinking about why would you go with personalities? Well, because Hophni and Phinehas were some evil boys, and so their personalities weren't the greatest. They desired to do some evil things in their lives, and they desired to benefit off of other people. And so they were wicked, they were cruel, and not boys that probably my parents would have wanted me to hang around with at that point in time. Because if, I guarantee if you were to hang around boys that were the wrong influence in your life, well, what's going to happen? You're more than likely, I've always been told, you're going to be like the people you hang out with. And I found that out to be so true in my life. And I remember one of the first jobs that I had as I was growing up. I worked at Hy-Vee, and I left that place, and I went to a place called Strike Turf, where I worked many years of my young life, and just working around these guys. And I didn't realize how prophetic those words were: you'll become like the people you hang around with. Well, I didn't realize it, but at one point in time, all these guys, the foul mouth that they had, it was unreal. The owner was a Marine and a former Marine. And I guess you're never a former Marine, are you, Sean? You're always a Marine. And he spoke like it all the time. And so the things that came out of his mouth were not godly things. And he had a potty mouth. And I noticed that I soon would too have a potty mouth. And I was like, whoa, what is taking place here? And I began to realize, yeah, you begin to act like the people that you hang around with. And so I can honestly say that these boys that were here, if I was to hang around these boys and would begin to do the things that they were doing in their life at this point in time, I can guarantee you my folks would be disappointed in the choice that I have made. Because, again, we got to realize something. We're all one choice away from making that bad one. We're all there, are we not? We don't live a perfect life, and we can make one bad choice that can mess up our life for eternity. And I tell you what, we need to realize the importance of making good choices. And I've made some poor choices in my life, and they have affected me to this day. And we can all say those things. And but thankfully that we serve a God who is a God who gives us second chances. Amen. But we don't need to abuse those second chances. Let's be honest with ourselves. Oh, God will forgive me. He's a God of grace and God of mercy. Let's not abuse that. Let's be thankful that he does give a second chance. And let's be on and continue to be on the road that God wants us to go down. It's easy to steer away and go down a road that we shouldn't go down. But again, let's make good choices in our life. So we see here the personality. We see Eli's sons were evil. Verse number 12 says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." The sons of Belial actually means the sons of the devils. And they were not good kids. They were evil. And so therefore, because they're evil, what do you normally do? You do evil things. That's what happens. And so this is the life that they have chosen. Again, we see that Eli here, and I'm not trying to point all the fault on Eli, but I realize that he was a priest at this point in time. But he was out taking care of the needs of the people. But we got to understand, what do we have to protect? You and I as believers, what do we have to protect? Our home. Who do we teach? Our children, our spouses. And we are not to forget about them, because they are the ones who are around us every single day. And let's be honest, those are the ones that we can easily forget about. And so we need to continue to be that example to the ones that are around us every single day of our lives. And Eli probably at one point in time forgot about his boys. And I shared a story a few weeks ago about Billy Sunday and how great an evangelist that he was. And he went out and began to have these big evangelical meetings, and people began to come back to the Lord and get saved. Well, what happened to his son? He died of an alcoholic. And I believe he was forgotten by his father. And fathers are important in our lives, amen? They are important, just like our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father should be important in our life. And we need to recognize those things. And so we see that Eli forgot to minister to his sons. And we need to see the importance of being that witness, being that that voice for not only for our church kids, but for the people that we're involved with every single day. Now we see here in verse number 13 through 16, we see that the dishonesty, boy, these boys' personalities just it seems to get worse in their life. And so we see they're corrupt, and now we see more of their personalities and how they're dishonest, and they're involved in many evil schemes. And let's read on here. It says, "And a priest's custom with the people is that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it in a pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man, that sacrifice, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord." So we see here that these boys wanted to benefit from other people. And so we see the evilness even more through these three verses. But look on what it says in verse number 17. Because this verse is should be important. It should strike a chord within us. It says, "Wherefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord." What does that mean, very great? It means it was heavysome. It was burdensome. And these men that were doing these things weren't honorable men. They were dishonest men. And so their sin was very great, being heavy before the Lord. Can you imagine that your sin was so great and so heavy that you are no longer pleasing to God? Instead of being pleasing to God, you're displeasing. Think about this. Let's put it in other terms so that we can understand it a little bit better. We as parents, and God has blessed us with children, and we're thankful for these things. God's blessed us with a child. But let's think about this for a second. Let's just say that we have raised unruly, dishonest, very displeasing men, women in our lives. Would that not bring shame to the parent? Would you not say, man, I wish my kid would not do this? There's a burden there that is upon the heart of the parent. Why? Because the parent, let's look at it this way, the parent's desire is for the kid to grow up, to live the life that God has intended for that person to live, and to live and instill in those values that those parents have instilled in them. And so when the child decides to make that choice, again, goes back to that choice, and they choose to go on into a different lifestyle that would not bring honor to the God the Father, then it wouldn't even bring honor to the parents. Just think about how you feel. Now, we have been in some situations, all of us probably in here, where at one point in time we have found out of some things that our child or our children has done in our lives, and we had to punish them. Why did we have to punish them? One, because they're wrong, and we had to correct them so they wouldn't continue to go about around those ways. But even as you're thinking about those things, you're thinking, oh, why would that moron do that? I taught him better than that. What was that moron thinking? Seriously, that's our thought. You mean you call your daughter a moron? Well, yeah, she's being a moron. I'm calling her a moron. There are some biblical names that you can call your children. Amen, Mom? There are some biblical names. But there's times where I have said, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Do you not realize that you're not only bringing shame to yourself, but you're bringing shame to your mother and to your father? And so this is what was taking place. No parent wants to hear anything bad about their children. No parent wants to hear those things. Think about this. We live in a society that trigger happy. And when I mean trigger happy, people like to pull the gun on the trigger. I saw in the news last night that in Chicago alone, over 760 people were shot and killed in Chicago last year. 760 people. Could you imagine that? And I can almost guarantee you, if they interviewed the parent, because you see it here in Omaha in Council Bluff, and the first thing when they interviewed the mom, oh, he was such a good kid. Well, if he was such a good kid, why did he go out and take the life of another individual? I never heard of a parent saying, oh, what a terrible kid. He brought shame to my family. He brought shame to everybody around him. No, the response is, no, he's a good kid. I don't understand why he did those things. I can tell you why he did those things. First of all, God's not important in his life. Probably never has been. Hopefully someday God will get a hold of that heart. And hopefully someday God will get a hold of the life of the parent so that they can see the error of their way and begin to train their children in the direction that they are to go. You know, God has told us that we are to train our children in his ways. Train up a child in the way it should go. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Well, they might make some bad choices along the way. Yeah, but if you train them up in the way that they're supposed to go, if you train and nourish them in the Lord, there's hope, isn't there? But if you don't, think about the lifestyle that they might live. Okay, so now you're looking at Eli, and you're looking at, Hophni and Phinehas, and you're seeing the evilness that they are given in their lives here. They were displeasing to him. It says, wherefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men harbored the offering of the Lord. Think about this. Okay, now we're talking about Hophni and Phinehas, but let's look at our lives, okay? Because that's what we're supposed to do. When we open God's word and we see and we read about these people and how evil and wicked they were at this point in time, now let's take that surgeon's knife that we hear about and let's begin to do some surgery on ourselves and begin to open up our body here, begin to open up our heart and say, oh, my sin that I have done this week has displeased the Lord. My sin has brought a heavy burden upon him. See, we need to think about it in those realms. Because if we begin to think about it like that, we might have a different outlook on life. We might sit there and say, well, hey, I think it's time for me to, instead of be displeasing in my ways to the Lord, instead of going down the path of sin, I need to change some ways. And I need to change some areas in my life to where instead of bringing displeasure to the Lord, I want to bring pleasure to the Lord. I want God to be glorified in my life. I want people to see as I walk out into my community where I go into the job and I'm into the world, I want the folks to see God in my life. I don't want them to see the world in my life. I don't want them to see that there is any sin in my life. I want them to see God. I tell you what, man, if we were to grab that this morning, and not really just put it in our mind, but put it in our heart. What a life-changing event it'll be in your life. Examine yourself. Don't sit there, yeah, these folks were wicked. They're ornery. They're horrible people. Yeah, I agree with you. But look at your own life. You know, sometimes we need to open up that closet and look at those skeletons that we have. Because we're not perfect. But yet we try to put on a perfect face every time we come to Sunday school. Every time we walk in the doors on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Oh, I'm here. I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. But I'm more concerned about the life that you live outside of here. Are you bringing pleasure to the Lord? See, we can all come to church and put on that church face, that church smile. But what matters is how are we living our life beyond these four walls? Are we bringing pleasure to God in our life? See, these folks, Hophni and Phinehas, they are obvious in how they're living their life. Now, let's think about this. We only see each other within these four walls on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. And we don't see each other outside these walls very often. Only you know how you're living for God. I don't. But you and God know. Do they see God in your life? Boy, there's been some things that you know, just going to the work job, the job force on a daily basis. am I going to bring glory to God today, or am I going to react in such a way where they're going to see how evil I can be? Or are they going to see God? That's the important thing here. So we see here they're just honest. They brought displeasure to the Lord. And because of this, we see here that when somebody is living this kind of a lifestyle, let's think about this for a second. Let's put it into another realm here. Okay, this is my dad. This is my pastor. This is your pastor. Okay, let's think about this. If he was raising Jeff and I, and I used Q last week, or a couple weeks ago as this illustration, but just think about this. If this was Jeff and I living this lifestyle of Hopney and Phineas, would you not think that you would sit there and say, man, pastor doesn't know what he's talking about? He expects us to do these things, but he can't even keep his own household in order here. You know what normally happens when that takes place? Usually what happens is the church begins to fall away. Hey, I don't want a part of this. If pastor can't keep his boys in order, and if he can't have his boys doing what they should be doing, then why in the world should I put myself under this type of authority and expect have them expect me to do what they're telling me to do? And so because of their evilness and because of their wickedness, and this was Jeff and I, and let's face this, if we're evil, wicked boys, would you guys want to have a part in this church? You probably say, no, this isn't for me. I'm going to walk away. And they're evil. I don't want my children around evil boys. Would you? So think about not only the things that they were destroying in their own lives, but think about the effect that they were having on other individual lives as well. And so people would begin to see how they were living. Again, I say this, and I might sound like a broken record from time to time, and that's okay. This is nothing new under the sun. But your testimony is one of the most important things in your life. And you have to guard that every single day. You can't let your guard down. Why? Because the world is looking at you. They're seeing if you're real. They're seeing if you're legit. And they're waiting, just waiting to pounce on you to be right there as soon as you make a mistake. And so we got to understand that people are looking at us. Why are you saying that? Because there's kids that are across this way here. They're in the other building. Some might be downstairs. They're looking at us. They're saying, hey, that's a good example to follow. That's not a good example to follow. They may need some work. I'll look at them. They're looking at us, folks. And they're seeing if we're real or not. I don't know if you understand this, but kids see through the phoniness. They see when you're real and when you're not real. They see that. How do you know that? Because I was a kid once. I remember growing up in this very church, looking at the adults that were in front of me, looking at who to follow and who not to follow, seeing who's real and who's not real. I was a kid once too, and so were you. Kids know the truth. You can't fool the kids. And so we need to see the importance of keeping our testimony in check, because they are watching us. They're seeing how real we are. Boy, they saw how real Hopney and Phineas were. They saw the wickedness that they had in their lives. I'm going to say this. We're foolish to think that we can fool God. Do you realize that? Can I say that again this morning? I'm not saying that to be mean or to put anybody down. I'm putting myself in this category. We are foolish to think that we can fool God. We cannot fool God. God knows our hearts. We cannot fool God. And so we can't sit there and think, well, I'm going to try and do this, and I don't really mean it. God knows the intent. God knows if you're in it for yourself. God knows if you're in it for a benefit. God knows if you're in it for seeking men's pleasure, seeking men's glory. God knows those things. And so we must realize that we cannot fool God. So why do we even try? Oh, Chad, that's not so. We don't try. Okay, if that's the case, then why do we commit sin? Seriously, let's think about this. If we cannot fool God, why do we commit sin in our life? We commit sin thinking, oh, nobody's ever going to find out about this. That's what's said in our heart and our mind. Nobody's going to know about the sin that I did. And so when we're saying that, we're saying we're fooling God. We cannot fool God. Because God knows the intent. God knows our heart. God knew the hearts of these two men here. But unfortunately, man is fooled. Man is deceived. See, we can all put on a good show for folks. I got to say this. I'm going to beat it into the ground. God knows. God knows. So if God knows, why be foolish? Can I say this? I like people who are real. I can't stand phoniness. I really can't. I like it when people are real and they're up front with me. I like it when people know that they struggle with something and they're not foolish and they don't try to hide it. They're real. You know what that says? That says, hey, I need help. Pray for me. Letting it be known. Letting it be real. Hannah is blessed. We see here in verse number 20 through 21. We see here it says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Look at the difference, folks, of Hophni and Phinehas. What were they doing? Can you say it out loud? What were they doing? Wickedness. Okay, now we look at Samuel, what takes place. What does it say in Scripture? Samuel did what? Grew before the Lord. What does that mean? Samuel, from a young age, was having a relationship with the Father. Why was that? I believe it goes back to his mother, who was a faithful woman to her God. I don't believe Hannah stopped praying for her son Samuel after he was born. I've said this, and you go, oh, you say this every single week. Yeah, I've been a father for 13 and a half years. Do you realize in those 13 and a half years, I pray for my daughter every single day? Why? Because it's important to me. It's important that God has his hand of protection upon my daughter. It's important to me that God right now begin to prepare the man that she's supposed to have in her life at the age of 55. It's important for me. It's important for me to pray that God would guide her and lead her in her life. No different than you folks in here praying for your children. I might be gone and I might be out of my folks' house, but I can guarantee you this. They still pray for me. Why? Because they know the foolishness of their son. They do. And they see it all the time. And so I'm thankful that I still have parents, even at the age of almost 42, that still see a need to pray for their kids. See, that's important. What happened with Eli? Did he let that drop? Did he not see the importance for his children? Did he not go to God on a daily basis, praying for his boys, praying that God would take them away from the evilness? What happened? What's the difference? I see here that Hannah had a desire for her child to serve God. I have a desire within my heart, and I know my wife's the same way, is for Jalen to serve God. Not because we want her to, because she wants to. That's what's important to me. See, kids can do, oh, okay, I'll do it because mom and dad want me to. I want her to do it because she sees the need and the desire to serve God through the faithfulness of the parents praying for them. Amen? That's what it's all about. And so God here, he begins to bless Hannah with more children, and she was blessed by this. And she's grateful for these things. And now I want to go on and look at the last point here is punishment. You know, every time that you do something wrong, you get caught, and there's always consequences for it. And in the life of Eli and his boys, there's going to be some punishment, and we're not going to read it today, but there's going to be some things that take place. But let's go on and read here. I lost place where I'm at. Let's look down in verse number 27. Actually, verse 26, it says, "And the child seemed to grow on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." Eli, his sons did not have this privilege. They did not have favor in the eyes of God, and they did not have favor in the men that were around them. And so we see here that Samuel is blessed with this. And then here comes a warning to Eli here. It says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto thee the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall cut off from thy altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign to thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die both of them." See, everything has a consequence. The evilness, the wickedness, the sin that Hophni and Phinehas allowed in their life, there is going to be punishment for it. What's the word say? Be sure your what? Sins will find you out. How many of you as parents, when your child has done wrong and you found out about it, punished your children? I have on many occasions. And I never took pleasure in punishing my daughter. But I punished my daughter to correct her of her ways. But this here is going to take a different toll here. The life of Hophni and Phinehas are going to be taken. And they're going to die a death that most men do not want to die of. And so we see here they're going to be punished. Why were they going to be punished? I'll tell you why. Because they mocked and they rejected the Lord. And as they mocked and as they rejected the Lord, they brought others down with them. See, they weren't alone. They had friends. They had people who followed them, which is unreal to me. Why would someone allow their kids to follow unruly kids? But that happens from time to time. Again, look at our world. It happens every single day. They mocked, they rejected the Lord, and they brought others down with them. There's another thing that I believe that was sad here. There was no good report found in them. Again, no parent wants to hear the negativity about their children from others. They want to hear about the good things. "Oh, did you hear what your son and what your daughter did? Man, I can't believe it." What's that do? That brings joy to your heart. Eli wasn't able to experience those types of things. Why? Because his sons were not well spoken of. Can I ask you a question this morning? I know some of you in here, you've already raised your children, they're gone, they're out of the house. But there are some in here this morning that we still have children that are within the house. My question to you this morning is, how are we raising our children? Are we raising them in the Lord, or are we raising them in the world? You know, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're aliens. And so if that is you this morning, can I encourage you to raise your kids in things that are going to last? The eternal things, the spiritual things, things that will never have rust or corruptness upon them. Raise your kids the way that they need to be raised, and that is in the Lord. Let people talk well of your kids. Don't raise them in a way where they're in the world and it brings shame and displeasure to you. "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so's kids?" No parent wants to hear that about their children. Every parent desires to hear others speak well of their children. Every parent. You know, it thrills me to hear of somebody coming up to me and saying, your daughter blessed me today. That brings joy to my heart. It truly does. I sit there and think, there's hope. There's hope for that child. What do we got to do? Keep raising them in the ways of the Lord. Don't let them go down that lifestyle that Hophni and Phinehas has gone down. Eli, think about this. Eli wasn't able to be a proud parent. You know, it's funny to watch, you know, parents raise their kids. You know, I've been around for a long time, and I've known Q for a long time. And I've known Q when he's this tall, and still this tall. And I remember watching him raise his children, and the joy that he saw in his children. And now I've been able to see him with his grandkids and the joy that they bring to them. I tell you what, isn't that neat? But think about that for a second, Q. What if you didn't have that? What if you didn't have that? See, every person, every parent, every grandparent wants to have people speak well of their kids. Verse number 30, it says here, let me read this again. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We need to realize when we raise our kids right, what are we doing? We're bringing honor to the Lord. And we need to honor the Lord by raising our children, our grandchildren, our nephews and our nieces in the Word of God. In the Word of God. You know, I know I stand before you as an imperfect man this morning. I know that I have made mistakes along my life. I realize that. I recognize that this morning. But I could not be more thankful for two parents who saw a need for six of their kids to be true and faithful to God. Did I veer off the path? I sure did. I most definitely did. What brought me back? The way they raised me. The way that I was raised, knowing that the Word of God should be the vital point of my life. But I stand before you today, an unproud man, saying that's not always been the case. That has not always happened in my life. See, I too was once like Hophni and Phinehas. I too created havoc and wickedness in my life. But again, I thank God that we have a God of second chances. Verse number 35, let me read this real quick, and then we'll be done. It says, and it shall come to pass, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to them that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before me, before my anointed forever. This verse here is talking about one day there will be a faithful priest that will arrive, and that man is Jesus.